Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, we have regrouped. We are ready for the second half of the show. It's been an eventful first 2 hours. Tons going on with the Titans and the Predators. We'll monitor the NHL draft that continues going forward right now. The Predators have made one of their 2 second-round picks. They traded the other one along with Nick Bonino to get Luke Kunin. So we'll recap that a little bit later in the show. In the meantime, it is time to check in with Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Our NFL analyst is with us again. Tim, anything going on in the NFL right now?
Wow. Hey, buddy.
Especially here in Nashville, right?
Oh, goodness. Tim, you had some great insights.
Last week. It's kind of essentially what happened, right?
Oh, man, you were all over it. And I think at the time we discussed this last week, I remembered your words a lot. Your words were the negative tests don't get you out of the woods or something to that effect.
They don't mean anything.
Yeah. And I think you were dead on right, because as we've learned, and we knew this, right? But I think it's almost like we didn't want to believe. You just want to believe that if everybody's negative today, everybody will be negative tomorrow. But that's just not how this virus works. But let's start with this. Were you, based on what you had a great understanding of, especially with your firsthand experience with the ACC and some of the college programs you followed, were you surprised that the NFL seems to have made the same mistake, as we sit here today, with the Patriots as they did with the Titans, getting on a plane and flying with somebody positive?
Yeah.
Or even if you leave that positive test behind and take everybody else?
Yeah, I think... I think the Patriots were operating with other information, feeling that, the Howard Ayer team was following protocols, who had been near Cam Newton, that it was safe to go. And I think that because of the way things have gone with the Titans, I think that's why you see, the league, at least appearing to have kind of the Titans in their crosshairs in terms of, hey, look, protocols don't mean anything if they're not followed. And, look, I don't know that the Titans weren't following them. You'd have to be in their facility to know whether they were or they weren't. But I think the league has access to that. And so I'm just kind of deducing that through the information of how the league has basically approached the Titans versus how they have approached some of these other teams. Because, again, the league has access to video from inside these teams' facilities.
Right. So let's start with the Titans. We all read the memo yesterday. It really screamed what you just said. The protocols we feel comfortable work. One team didn't follow the protocols. But now we sit here a day later, we're seeing some issues with the Patriots. They've had to call off practice now. It's been reported that Stephon Gilmore, who has a positive test, was on the separate plane among players that were around Cam Newton. So we don't know what's coming down for them in terms of testing in the next few days. We're going to find out more. So is it the Titans,
correct,
or is it the protocols, or is it a combination?
Well, so here's what I would say. There are a couple people actually heard my interview with you guys last week that reached out to me and are like, hey, we think you're wrong. And, I was kind of like, well, tell me why. And they said, well, these things are in place. These guys, everyone's got the monitors on and, you're wearing masks in these meetings and you're 6 feet apart. And basically the probability of you getting sick when, if you're adhering to these protocols, even when you're out at practice and that kind of thing, it's not going to happen. And I was like, well, I kind of pushed back a little bit saying, you know, some of these things with these protocols, so some of these things with these protocols are, you know, a bit arbitrary as well, right? Like, so someone decided, like, hey, within 6 feet of somebody, you know, without a mask on for 10 minutes. Well, like where did we come up with 10 minutes? You know, like, I know we're using it as a guideline. We have
right.
to do something, but could it happen in the first 1 minute, you know? Or so, you know, I just think that, like, I do think that if everyone is, you know, strictly adhering to the protocols, I don't think that you are going to get a situation like the Titans. Now, you know, does that mean you're not going to have any? No, it doesn't mean you're not going to have any. Because, you know, part of the situation is, you know, the facility is one thing. And this goes back to what we talked about, you know, when this all started. The facility is one thing. But when you go home, it's another. You know, so if your family comes to visit you and is staying with you, well, that just changed everything, especially if they got on a plane and flew there or all of that stuff. So, or how about this? What if your spouse, listen, there are Titans players just like there are players around the league. Their spouses work. Like when I played in the NFL, my wife had a job, and she was in contact with a lot of people when
right.
she had a job. Well, the same thing goes for Titans players and other NFL players and coaches and staff members. So, you know, I think these protocols are speed bumps. And, you know, speed bumps, you know, don't prevent people from speeding. You know, slowing down prevents you from speeding.
There's also in the memo, and it's been referenced, especially now that there are an additional positive test or two with the Titans. We'll find out who those players are later in the day, I would presume, when they make the move to the COVID list. It looks like there's no way you could play the game on Sunday. So the word forfeit has been proposed by some. Do you think that's a little harsh, or do you think that's even a realistic or remote possibility?
I think it all depends on if there are violations of the protocol. Like, if there weren't violations of the protocol, then that's crazy to
right.
force them to forfeit a contest. Because if it's like, wait a second, you know, league and NFLPA, you put these protocols together, we adhered to them, and even if there was like a, you know, a little miss here and a little miss there, that's one thing. You know, if there's a blatant disregard for the protocols, then I think there will be overwhelming support for that. Because
for a forfeit altogether, a forfeit, not just losing a draft pick, but forfeiting a game.
Well, here's what I would say. So, like, you know, if 30, you know, one other teams are able to play because they're are, you know, adhering to protocols, and one is not. So what are you going to do with these games? You're going to, you know, you've already affected other organizations and their bye weeks and their, you know, the layout of their schedule and their players. And, like, so, you know, at some point, again, this is if you're not adhering to protocols. If you're not adhering to protocols, well, then there has to be someone that bears the responsibility. But if you are adhering to the protocols, then, you know, to say you have to forfeit a game because you have an outbreak on your team, like, that would be absurd. But if the league and the NFLPA investigate and find out that, whatever it is, I'm just going to make something up, guys weren't wearing masks, you know, people weren't wearing the tracing devices, they were, whatever, sharing water bottles, like, you know, who knows, the various things that, you know, they shouldn't be doing, and it was blatant disregard for that, yeah, they're going to punish them. I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to punish them, because they also have to cover their own interests as well, which is to your point of, like, soldiering on to play these games like the New England-Kansas City game.
Okay, there's another allegation, Tim, that you're probably aware of that has been reported that they are looking into, and it has not been substantiated to this point. Mike Vrabel said in his Zoom call, we've told the players not to gather, even though we can't get into our facility. There was an allegation that some players gathered somewhere and had some sort of workout. If that's substantiated, is that the kind of thing that would give a harsh penalty?
I think the way that would come out, and the first thing I saw this morning was that there were guys that are testing positive now 9 days after, you know, the facility was shut down. You know, so that ends up being a really tricky part, right? So, like, just say, for example, I don't know what these guys have been told, but let's just say you were told, hey, you have to quarantine, right? Well, and so if these guys are supposed to be 9 days into quarantine, you know, why are you getting new positive tests? You know, that would be a concern. So, you know, and in terms of guys gathering, here's what I would say about that I think is really tricky, which I think is really, you know, I think to shut down a team's facility for a week, but it's available to guys that are injured. Like, the facility should either be available or not. And, you know, if it was okay for the injured guys to go in and get treatment, then why couldn't guys, you know, go in and get a lift? Like, why couldn't guys go in really small groups away from each other, you know, wipe down the weight room or have them work out outside, you know, kind of individually? They got enough space to do that, you know, rather than saying, hey, listen, because remember, when they shut down the facility, Willie, they also, you know, were kind of operating of like, hey, we might play a game on Tuesday. So, like, put yourself in that position as a player where you're like, okay, so I can't come to work, but you might want me to play Tuesday. So what, you want me to just, like, get on a Peloton all week long? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Because the reality is, like, Brian Hoyer played poorly the other night. Well, like, he's trying to prove that he still belongs in the NFL. And, you know, he was really up against it, you know, playing on the road against the defending Super Bowl champs. And, you know, without the work that you would get to, you know, be the starter. So, like, look, I wouldn't fault players for wanting to do something to be ready because they were expecting to play on Tuesday. So, you know, in fairness to those guys, if they did get together, like, you know, or they did, you know, they did work out, well, what do people expect them to do? Like, and why couldn't you create, like, an environment outside for them to be nowhere near somebody and work out?
It's a fair question. And the Players Association should have a say in that, right? You're looking for the rights of the players. The players have to be able to prepare to do their job, right, somewhere. So that should be taken into account, whether this is an extreme violation by the team that would have you considering a forfeit or a loss of a draft pick, something like that. So, Tim, in the meantime, let's say...
I can tell you this, Willie. Is it really safe for a quarterback to drop back, have his eyes downfield, looking at where he's going to throw the ball with an offensive line group that wasn't able to practice together all week and, you know, work on picking up, you know, a various third down blitz package, you know, that the team you're facing has? Like, is it really safe for a player to do that? You know, to have it, like... I would argue that it's not, and especially if you are a backup quarterback that hasn't gotten those reps. So, you know, I think there are elements to, like, the way they've handled these things that have put these players in a really hard position.
So with that in mind, knowing that realistically you can't ask the Titans to play on Sunday against the Bills. The Bills also play on Thursday, a week from tomorrow. So you can't move the game to Monday or Tuesday. That's not realistic. So is it better in your mind, if you're Commissioner Hasselbeck, are you saying, hey, it's time to introduce a Week 18? Or are you thinking this game just isn't going to be played and both of these teams might end up with 15 games on their schedule?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to end up having teams that have less than 15 games on their schedule with these protocols. I mean, that's how I see it. So, I think you're going to start clipping games is how I would see this happening. You know, extending this all out is, I don't know that you get agreement on that. And I've heard various things about, you know, the Super Bowl venue is, you know, booked out for 3 weeks after the Super Bowl and, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, I don't know if any of that stuff is true or not. But, I guess at this stage, before the halfway point, I would probably take the approach of, hey, we're gonna push everything back and make the season actually cover, you know, a longer period of time. But I think ultimately what would happen is, you know, we stop and not everybody plays 16 games.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So is there a point in your mind, we were discussing this earlier, where Goodell and the NFL, the owners, they might just go, all right, we just need to call a timeout. We got to get in front of this because we already know what's happening with the Titans. It looks to be beginning with the Patriots. Could there be other teams that it hits them? I know baseball, they kept going. They were able to catch up, but they don't have the NFL doesn't have the time that baseball had to be able to catch things up.
Right.
So is there a point in your mind where they hit the timeout button?
Yeah, I mean, you almost wonder if, like, now is the time to go, guess what? We're going to put a pause on these next 2 weeks here. Because here's the other problem that you have, Chase, and I think that, look, what we ran into it locally here in youth football. Like, look, like who did the Titans have after the Bills? I don't know who their opponent is that
Texans.
Week, but whoever it is. Okay, do they want to play them? Like, you could have Texans players be like, hold on, man. Like, wait a second.
Right.
Like, they've had two players test positive, you know, every week for the last 3 weeks. Like, nah, like, we're good. Like, we're not playing them. Because I think you can end up having some of that situation as well. So, I really don't know what happened. You know, your point about baseball is well taken. You can play doubleheaders. You can... You know, you give guys certain rest and things like that. You're not resting Ryan Tannehill. You know, you're not resting, you know, certain players, you know, because you're playing, you know, three games in 12 days. Like, you can't do that. You know, I don't think you ever get the Players Association to agree to that. So, you know, I think ultimately what happens is you need to kind of continue on, but you've got to have some type of plan where when we look up before the playoffs start, we haven't played 16 games. You know, we maybe have played 12, and I don't, you know, I don't know how you fix that. The big caveat in all this, the big thing that I think is going to be a huge determining factor in all of this, is what the league finds in terms of protocols being followed or not. So any place that's had a breakout, so this isn't just unique to the Titans. Any place that's had a breakout, when they investigate the team. You know, if people, you know, have been following the protocols, then you know, it's going to come back in the league. If the teams have not been, then the organization, the players, the coaching staff, they're going to feel the pain of that if that was really the case.
I do want to ask you, you know, I know all this has been dominating what's been going on, but the Texans made a move and they let go of Bill O'Brien. Four games, they're 0-4. Romeo Crennel's named the interim. Were you surprised that now was the time that he's the GM and the head coach, but they decided to move on?
Yeah, I think now it was surprising that like now was the time. It's really early in the season. I mean, for a guy that's been there that long, you know, had taken the team to postseason and, you know, had some success for this to happen week four in obviously what has been a really tricky year. Yeah, a little bit surprised that it happened when it happened. Like if you're going to do it at week four because you kind of see the way things are going, you know, why wasn't something done maybe, you know, at the end of last year? Or why wouldn't you just kind of ride it out until week 10, see if it gets any better, and then if it doesn't, you know, you're one of the first ones to kind of, you know, start your search for your next head coach. So, you know, at the quarter point of the season, I thought it was pretty early.
I did want to ask you, too, you obviously do college football games for the ACC Network. What has that process been like for you, whether you're traveling or I'm not sure if you've done some remote, how that's worked,
yeah.
But through all this,
yeah.
what it's been like?
Well, so here's what I could tell you. What's interesting is I have called college football games from home. You know, so I've called a game in Miami from Nashville. I've called a game, you know, in Blacksburg from Nashville. You know, I was, you know, I've gone to Louisville and called a game in person. I called the Clemson, Virginia game this past weekend in person. You know, what's really interesting is that, you know, I had two teams that throughout training camp, North Carolina State and Virginia Tech, had a really hard time with COVID outbreaks. And I think their season, I think they felt like their season was in jeopardy. But these teams that have kind of been through the fire of it, they seem to be doing great. You know, what we get, Chase, before every game from these schools, and I think it's the right way to handle it, is we get an available and an unavailable list of players prior to each game. So you don't know if a player is unavailable because he's been suspended, he's got a knee injury, or if he has COVID or is part of contact tracing. But you know, you kind of get a sense based on, you know, just knowing the landscape of each team, you know, if they're being hit hard by kind of contact tracing or a COVID outbreak. And I can tell you through, I've done six college games now, some teams have been through it. But like Clemson, for example, like, you know, they just don't announce like how many COVIDs were not available, basically. But they have over 100 guys on their roster. And I think that they had everybody but three guys available. So something is going right in college football in terms of how players are following protocols and being able to play in college football. And some of those schools are benefiting from their classes being online and not as many students being on campus, but they're getting it done. And, you know, the NFL is kind of on shaky ground, it seems, right now.
Do you? I know it's different with college because these are amateur athletes, and so you know, you have some privacy issues there, but do you think that the NFL should, I mean, they're already releasing players' names, but should the Titans have to release the coaches or the personnel of who tested positive? I mean, is that information that you think we have a right to know?
You know, I don't really think so, and because I would say this, I mean, like, look, if somebody tests positive, like, look, could it be because they're not following protocol? Sure, it could. But, like, some of it's uncontrollable, right? Like, some of it is,
right,
you could be doing everything possible. Like, and it just, who knows? Especially if you have kids that are going to school or, you know, so I don't think, you know, I thought Mike Vrabel was great on it when he's like, look, this isn't anybody's fault, you know? And, you know, let's hope that that's, you know, really the case. But, like, so, look, I think from seeing things from, you know, you go back to, you know, the false positive that Matthew Stafford had and kind of the, you know, the experience that his wife put online about, you know, kind of how people were looking at him when it was a false positive, you know, and looking at her and her kids and she's taking them to the playground and stuff when, you know, it was a false positive. People just didn't know about it. Like, in fairness to people, like, yeah, no, I don't think that everybody deserves everyone's details in it. But I do think that, like, for example, if you have tested positive or if you are in contact tracing, like, you can't go to work, you know, you can't do so. You know, if you find out some of those things have happened, like, yeah, look, that's a problem. I don't know that everyone needs to know, but, like, there does need to be some type of punishment for that.
Tim, leave us with this. In your mind, do you believe that the Patriots game this weekend will be on? Or is it too early to tell?
I mean, if there's no more positive tests outside of Gilmore, then I do think they'll be on. I think the other thing is this. I think whatever happens to the Chiefs players, I think will also be a big determining factor on this. Like, just take, for example, right now we're at no Minnesota Vikings, correct? Like, that's
correct.
Where we are?
Correct.
So,
fortunately, yes.
So here's the thing. So the league's perspective is definitely going to be, hey, wait a second. Football is not transmitting this. Like, there's obviously, you know, been an outbreak with the Titans. They played the Vikings. Those players are not testing positive. So if we start seeing Vikings players test positive, you know, then all of a sudden I think everything changes. If we, you know, the picture is circulating with Stephon Gilmore and Patrick Mahomes saying good game after the game. If Patrick Mahomes tests positive, you know, in 4 days, then no, I don't think we will. But the fact that the NFL right now is operating under the assumption that football is not transmitting it, and quite honestly, they seem to have a lot of evidence that it's not, then, yeah, I think they play.
And that is the best news, right? I mean, I don't know that we could pull any of this off if it were true that you every time you play a game, you're running a big risk. So fortunately, that's been the case to this point. That's what the evidence says. Now, one other thing we haven't covered,
right,
Tim, is the
Don't
Raiders.
You think, I mean,
right?
You would agree with that, right? Would you Wouldn't you really? Like, football is not transmitting it.
Yes, I think we would know. We would know. I don't think we'd be able to complete high school seasons. Everybody that's playing, I think, would have had to have stopped by now if that were the case.
Yep.
So what about the Raiders? You have these fines, heavy fines for the charity event, nobody wearing masks, all of that stuff. And now they do have one positive case. So is that a huge area of concern for you?
Yeah, and I think that looking at the league's desire to punish them for, you know, players going out to a charity event, for, you know, a coach not wearing a mask properly, the, you know, the way that the league has aggressively, you know, decided to kind of punish teams and individuals for not adhering to the protocols when there really has not been a big outbreak that stopped play, right? Like you mentioned, just, hey, one guy's tested positive, I think is a really good indicator that if a team were not to be following protocols and then they shut down games, to get back to your earlier question about forfeiture, like, I think that they've already showed their hand in terms of what they're going to do. You know, I think they basically are going to swing the sledgehammer if you're shutting down games and not following protocol.
Tim, great stuff, as always. Hopefully in the coming weeks we'll have majority football X's and O's talk and predictions and fun things to preview games and not all of this stuff. But this is where we are. But we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, cool. See you, fellas.
See you, Timmy.
Thanks a lot. Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. You can listen to him every Wednesday at noon here on the show. So didn't completely rule out the forfeit thing.
No. Nope.
We'll have to wait and see on that. We'll get back to that when we return to the show. We've got some other things that have come down the pike just since we started talking to
Tim. I need a nap.
Yeah, after the show, for sure. We're going to shut it down for a couple hours there and decompress a little bit. But it's going at a furious pace. We like that. And so we'll return in just a moment here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.